Last week, we continued a study of what goes on in the organized church, such as ours, that is necessary for us to be and do what we believe wants of us. Practical things that need to get done. And we've already examined seven areas of service: office manager, transportation director, kitchen coordinator, grounds manager, buildings and grounds, worship director, education director, and mission outreach and special events director. Now, I listed them as directors or managers. Don't be put off. That's not some highfalutin job that nobody can accomplish. They're just names for the jobs that need to get done. And of course, we discussed then under each one what those jobs are. And today we're going to continue. And the first one is communications director. Communications. To communicate with someone. If you don't know who to talk to, this is the person to get a hold of. The communications director. This person will write the quarterly newsletter, maintain our website and our Facebook page, publicize weekly and monthly events like Vacation Bible School, community services, the Christmas program. Did I move it? Yeah, you did. Thanks. It's bouncing around again? I specifically went in and took that timing out, and it's still doing it. That's disgusting. Anyway, this person will maintain communications with the classes supervisor and the West Sioux Classes Executive Committee. This person will get mail and other deliveries and see to their distribution. So it's kind of an important job. Now, as long as we're talking about communication, I want to mention our Facebook page. Does this one stay there?
I don't know.
Okay. We have a Facebook page out there, in case you didn't know it. If you get on Facebook and you look for Winnebago Reformed Church, and there it is. And that's where we put, well, like last week, we postponed the potluck because of the funeral. So we put it on the Facebook page. When we have mission teams that come, we take pictures of what they're doing, or we put out announcements of what they're doing if they're going to have a special supper. It goes on our Facebook page, as well as probably in our bulletin. But this is out in the community. So you know how that works. If you like it, then it'll show up on your feed whenever you turn on yours. So take a look. It's out there. And I know some of you are not even aware of it. Now, we also have our own website. That's what it looks like. And on there, we have a calendar. We have the announcements that are in the bulletin. We even have the message that I preach. It's being recorded, and we put that out there this afternoon. One of the things I'll be busy doing is editing what's being recorded and putting it out there. So if you miss a service, go look at the announcements. What's happening in the week? Listen to the sermon. What lesson did I miss? Or perhaps 3 weeks ago. You know, scan down that list of what the messages were. You know, I need to know more about that. So what was the message on that Sunday morning? Bring it up. You can listen to it on your phone or your computer. And I know that works because I also have one like that for the fire department, and they're learning how to use it. The website can be really helpful. The calendar is on there. Is this going to be Communion Sunday? Is this Potluck Sunday? You know, if you didn't ride by and see it on the sign out there, look on our calendar. And there it is, telling you what's going on in the church. Our website is winnebagoreform.org. I think it's written up there, right? Yep. So it's there. Make use of it. And then there's one other thing that's out there on the web that We don't provide it, but it's there. And I want you to be aware of it. If you come early enough and you watch the announcement scrolling on the wall, didn't happen today because we were scrolling something else, but usually we have the announcements up here beforehand, running for a half hour ahead of time, round and around and around. And one of the things on there is this. Download it to your phone. If you have a computer, I would suggest that you, next page, download eSort. It's free. This resource is my primary Bible study resource because it's free and it has, I've got four different versions of the Bible on it. I can bring up the Greek and the Hebrew and the original languages with a definition of what those words mean. There are commentators that have comments on how we ought to understand. You know, if you have a computer at home, download eSort. It's a really good reference. And so nobody in today's world can say, I don't have access to the Word of God. It's out there and it's free. Going on with our works in the church. The next task is community service director. Any service outside the church building would be in this category. You work with the food pantry ministry. Work with the homeless shelter ministry. Work with Atlas for community advocacy. We work with other churches, community church services, outreach. This is the person that would facilitate furniture delivery for those. Maybe you remember the times we brought in semi-loads of furniture for our people. And even now, we'll go other places and come back with a trailer load of furniture for those that are in need. We helped stock some of our seniors that were burned out a year and a half ago when they moved into their apartments. We'd go pick up furniture for them. That's part of our social outreach ministry in the community. This person will work with the communications director as necessary and communicate with the tribal council, housing, the village, and facilities as necessary. I see community service as one of the most powerful works of the church because this is people doing things for people in need where other people can see, yep, that's the church doing its work. God calls us and gifts us with the ability to do that. This week, another fella donated his time and the two of us, we went over to Sloan. HCI bought the old inn and they're going to renovate it into apartments. And so they said, come in here and take whatever you want. And we took two loads out of there in my trailer. Beds, dressers, lamps, furniture for people that need it. Didn't take care of all that we have on our list that needs it, but we got a lot. That's the work, just part of the work of the church. And this person would coordinate that. And then there's the visitation director. It's also important and visible work of the church. This person will arrange for visits or personally visit people in hospitals, jails, nursing homes, or who are shut in. They'll supervise the prayer chain and the prayer list in the bulletin because this person should know who the people are that need to be on there. This is a person you would call if you know somebody who needs a visit. This person will work with the worship director and the communications director to maintain the bulletin prayer list, the bereavement list, the announcement PowerPoint, to arrange for or counsel those in need, and work with the communications director to communicate opportunities and needs. You know, if you say, I got some extra time, and I could visit somebody who's kind of hurting and needs some encouragement, this person will know who you can go to. Then they'll know about you so that they can tell somebody, hey, you can talk to this person. And then there's another responsibility that every congregation needs. And we're privileged to have somebody who's able and experienced who does this. Nancy Gillis is our bookkeeper, our treasurer. It's a responsibility that isn't very visible and seldom receives any thanks, but it's necessary. And it must be done faithfully and accurately. Nancy works with the deacons to count and safeguard all offerings and gifts, to maintain bank accounts, and to ensure that all monies are properly deposited and accounted. She writes timely thank you notes and sends receipts. She receives and pays all bills, provided we have enough money coming in to cover them, which incidentally we don't right now. She works with the transportation manager to see that licensing and permits are maintained and in order. She provides monthly financial reports to the consistory. She provides annual reports, and every year she proposes a tentative budget to the consistory. She provides information for classes and denominational reports and maintains and updates our nonprofit status, employer identification number, insurance policies, and registrations. There's a lot there. So, we've covered 11 different descriptions of what this congregation, your church, needs as it tries to serve our Lord in Winnebago, on the ground, in the world. And I'm sure you're aware that in the past, many of these duties fall on few people. One of those few people, me, is leaving. I'm going to retire. I'm going to move to a different community. And so those jobs that I am doing and nobody else is doing won't get done until somebody steps up and says, I'm going to do this. If nobody steps up, the work of the church, that part of it, doesn't get done. That's the reality. When I was working with the Macy Church, the church was to that point where nobody was doing any of those jobs. The church was dead. There were a few people that were showing up on a Sunday morning, but they were incapable of doing most of the jobs, elderly or disabled. But this church isn't yet to that point. We have people. We have relatives that ought to be here. We have friends that ought to be part of God's church. You go out into the community, and if you were to pin somebody down and say, do you believe in the Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ? There are some people out there that would say yes. And then the question is, why are you not part of the fellowship of the body of Christ? Why are you not coming together with other Christians and encouraging them and doing the jobs that God asks us to do? Perhaps all they're waiting for is for you to tap them on the shoulder, so to speak, and say, is God calling you? As we talked about in our Sunday school class, a lot of people say, well, I'm a member of the church. I was baptized there. But you see, baptism is a sign of something else. And if you don't recognize the something else, then the sign means nothing. An example that I used this morning in Sunday school was the stop sign. The stop sign doesn't make you stop. It indicates that there is a law that says you need to stop here. And so when you recognize the law that the stop sign represents, then you stop. When you recognize the inclusion that baptism represents. Then you become included and you take up what God asks you to do. It's easy to sit back and say, I put in my 70 minutes this month. Where in the Bible does it say you have to put in 70 minutes sitting in a pew so you can go to heaven? Doesn't say that. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Cross, that was a burden. That was tough. It hurt. It killed him. So is God calling you? I'd like to read a story for you from the Old Testament. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all the people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses said, because the people come to me and seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you, and you cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and his instructions. Show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple ones they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simpler ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. You see, not only was Moses relieved of handling everything, but the people were blessed to be part of it. They were blessed to have authority themselves to do the work that was necessary and perhaps even appreciated by the people around them. Obviously, God gifted other people besides Moses to do those jobs. And that worked successfully for 40 years while they were in the wilderness. In our church is no different. We're just smaller. The Apostle Paul described our cooperation in the work of the church in this way. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every little wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Indeed, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that's Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. each part. God is with us. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for our church. So how do you fit into that plan? James also had something to say about this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Like the person you meet on the street that says, "Oh, I'm a member of that church," but you've never seen them. Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. We've identified 11 leading roles in our church. If you step up now and say, "I'm probably not ready yet, but I can fill that role eventually, or part of it," I'll do my best to help you learn what that takes. I intend to be around for a couple months yet before I retire. And I want to be a resource. So look at yourself. Look at the people next to you. What can I do? What can the person next to me do if I would encourage that person? We are the body of Christ. And we don't want that body to be crippled because part of it isn't doing what God calls it to do. Let's pray together. Father, help us. Show us your way. Teach us how to do what it is you want us to do. Motivate us that we're willing to change to action, to take up what Jesus wants us to take up. And Lord, we know we can do it if that's your will. So we come in Jesus' name. Amen.